we always focus on the international crimes of the United States and the violations of the UN Charter that the U.S. is guilty of with regards to its foreign policies, with regards to the conflicts that it sows overseas, the discord that it sows overseas, the violence that it funds and arms overseas. But if you think about it, actually, you don't even have to go outside the borders of the United States to find the U.S. violating the terms of the Charter. You don't even have to go outside of America to find America violating the Charter of the UN. Because remember, the UN Charter doesn't just have to do with the way a country behaves with other countries. It also has to do with the way it behaves against its own citizens. You know, over 1,200 people were murdered in the United States last year by the security forces, otherwise known as the police. Extrajudicial killings. That's a violation of the UN Charter, that you're allowing your security forces to murder your people, to murder your citizens, and that they're specifically, and it's documented and it's easily provable, that they're targeting specific communities. They target the African American community, they target the Latino community, for violence, for killing, for extrajudicial killing. You're violating the UN Charter against your own citizens. We don't even have to look overseas at the crimes that the United States is committing. They're committing them against their own citizens. That's just one example. Gun violence overall, forget about just the security forces, but gun violence overall, just compare it to Congo. Okay, the conflict in the Congo has been going on since the late 1990s. Some 3 million people have been killed in that period of time. Half that many have been killed in the United States, in a country that's not even regarded as being in a state of conflict, a country that's not even regarded as being in a state of war or civil war or internal violence. But you've had over 1.1 or 1.5 million people killed in the United States just due to gun violence. That's the people killing each other. Another way of putting that is the people not being protected from violent elements in their own society. The government is not taking care of its own people. The security forces are not taking care of their own people. In fact, rather than taking care of their own people, they are participating in the murder of their own people. So how is the United States not guilty of persistently violating the UN Charter when they can't even abide by the UN Charter in their own country with their own citizens? If you took some of the statistics, just look at some of the statistics, like what I mentioned, 1,200 people murdered by the security forces and extrajudicial killing in the United States in 1 year. You have, I think, the U.S. population is about 3% of the global population, but represents 25% of the prison population of incarcerated human beings. 25% on Earth are in the United States, whereas the whole United States population is only 3% of the global population. Imagine if we were if we used some of those same statistics and we're talking about a different country. America would go to town at the United Nations with all of the things that they would say and the sanctions that they would impose upon any country that has statistics remotely close to the dismal, abysmal statistics that the United States has with regards to human rights within their own country. So if we're talking about the UN Charter, we're standing for the UN Charter, we're demanding the application of the UN Charter, and we're calling for the U.S. to be held up to the standards of the UN Charter. And I'm saying that if you held the United States up to the standards of the UN Charter, the requirements of the UN Charter, you don't even have to look at what they have done overseas. You can look just at what they do on their own territory, within their own borders, against their own people, and they're qualified for being expelled from the United Nations for persistently violating the terms of the Charter, the principles of the Charter, against their own citizens. If we start bringing in the rest of the world and the violations that they've committed against the rest of the planet, well, my goodness, it's amazing that they're even still there at all. The American citizens have not been able to benefit from membership in the United Nations. And what I mean by that is that they haven't been having their own rights protected, which is part of the United Nations' job, to make sure that the rights of citizens of every country are upheld, that their human rights are upheld, that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is evenly applied to all countries everywhere, including the U.S. But because of the U.S. domination of the United Nations, they're not called to account. They have impunity for the violations that they commit even against their own citizens. So if the U.S. was kicked out of the United Nations, potentially this could benefit the people in the United States, because then the United Nations would have the freedom to act, the freedom to operate, and to hold the United States accountable for their actions, not just overseas, not just globally, not just internationally, but the crimes that are committed and the rights that are violated within their own country against their own people. So I think that in that way, just in that framework, the people of the United States would immensely benefit from the United States being kicked out of the United Nations, because as long as they are in the United Nations, they're dominating. And when they're dominating, that enables them to enjoy impunity and unaccountability. They're never called to account, neither for their violations and the crimes that they commit overseas, nor for the violations and the crimes that they commit domestically. So if they were kicked out of the United Nations, well, they could be held accountable, again, for the crimes and the violations that they commit overseas and the crimes and the violations that they commit domestically. If the feeling that you have when you hear us talking about the invocation of Article 6, if the feeling that you have is that this is not something that can ever be done, and that the United States can never be held accountable, and that the United States is just too big to be held to account and too big to be made to follow the rules, well, then that's the reason why you need to go to that link, click on that link, and sign that petition, because you've been psychologically defeated. You've been psychologically corrupted. And that should tell you, in and of itself, one of the main reasons, one of the most important reasons why you need to get the United Nations, why you need to get the United States out of the United Nations, because of the corrupting force that it has, the corrupting nature that it has, the corrosive nature that it has had on our understanding of international politics, our understanding of following the rules, our understanding of ethics, our understanding of principles, of justice, of all of the things that the UN Charter stands for. And it stands for very noble principles, very honorable, noble principles, virtuous principles that we all believe in. But if you believe that the United States cannot be held to account and cannot be forced to abide by those rules, then your own mind has been corrupted to think that actually might makes right, which is the way the United States operates, and it's the way the United States has dominated the United Nations. And that's exactly the kind of corruption that we're talking about. It's exactly the kind of corruption that has to be fought, that has to be healed internationally. In the collective global understanding, the collective global conscience has to be healed from the damage and the corruption that's been caused by the United States. So if you feel at any level in your heart, in your mind, that the United States cannot be expelled from the United Nations, that's exactly why you need to go and sign the petition, so that we can get them removed from the United Nations and removed from your mind and removed from your heart.
There was someone in the comments who said, what if the US gets angry? What if they get annoyed that they're removed from the UN? Could the US go rogue and cause turmoil if they're removed from the United Nations?
I'll go back to the psychological condition that a person must have, that they're stuck in a state of fear about what the U.S. might do. The fact that you even feel that way shows that we're talking about a rogue state. We're talking about a rogue power that's already rogue. You wouldn't say that about another country, that you think that they're going to go rogue if they're held to account, if they're held accountable. If they're made to follow the rules, then they might go insane. What other country would you say that about, except for Israel, which when you talk about Israel, you're just talking about America anyway. But if you're talking about any normal, civilized country, that would never be something that you would think would happen, that they're called to account and they're called to follow the rules that they themselves signed. You would never think, well, if we call them on the carpet and require them to follow the rules, they might lose their mind, declare war on the world, World War III. Whatever it is that you have in your mind that you think they're going to do, again, that's exactly why this needs to be done. That's exactly why this needs to be done. The only thing, or the main thing anyway, that has enabled the U.S. to be a rogue state for all these decades is precisely because they have kept the world in check by their domination of the United Nations. So if they're removed, if they're expelled from the United Nations, then the rest of the world is liberated from that domination. It will be an Independence Day for the whole planet, the day that the United States gets removed from the UN, and they'll finally be able to actually act properly and act with authority and impose upon the United States the consequences of their actions, the consequences of their crimes. And then possibly the United States might rehabilitate itself if it's held to account and put in check, just like every other country is supposed to be. And every other country agrees to be when they sign the UN Charter. So it's not, you know, if you have this fear, you know, it's really ironic that the United States over the past few years launched this whole campaign, this anti-bullying campaign. They're the biggest bully on the face of the earth. They're the biggest bully that has ever been on the face of the earth. And then they're trying to run an anti-bullying campaign when every single one of us feels bullied by the United States to the extent that we think we can't even dare to call for them to be held to account, to follow the rules that they agreed to follow, that we're scared that they're going to lose their minds. We're scared that they're going to go insane and go rogue, even worse than they already have been going rogue, that we can't even call them to account. It's the mindset of an abusive relationship, of a battered spouse, that if I this husband or this wife who's so abusive, if I divorce them, if I tell them to leave the house or whatever, well, it might result in a murder suicide. Who knows? You're being held in a state of terror. You're being terrorized and terrified by the United States. And again, there's no reason for that. The rule exists. Article 6 exists in the charter. It just has to be invoked. We're not trying to do something that there isn't already a legal measure for. Literally, all we're doing is calling for the application of the law. We're calling for the application of the rules against the United States. We're calling for the application of the rules against the chief rule breaker. And if you're telling yourself that is something that can't be done, or that it's too dangerous to be done, well, then that just gives you even more of an impetus and more of an urgency for why it has to be done.